Well, do please think back to Psalm 63. It's the text we're looking at this morning. It'd really help if you've got it in front of you. I'll be referring to it as we go through this message as we look at the psalm together. So it was on page 579 in the Church Bibles. And it's continuing on our series going through selected psalms. And here David is talking about another kind of response to God. So far we've been looking at praising God and thanking him with zeal, with energy. We've been looking at approaching God to ask for his forgiveness. That was last week. We're in Psalm 63 now. Well, I wonder, have you ever felt so thirsty that you're gasping for a drink? Really, really gasping for it. Maybe almost about to faint. I wonder if it came close for you to that this week with temperatures being so hot. It was a really hot week, wasn't it? I went for a long walk this week and I was pretty thirsty by the end of it. It was almost 30 degrees, kind of hard to believe after the rain we had at the end of the week. But when David was writing this psalm, he was in the desert. It's in the title just under Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. And he was on the run, he was being chased by enemies. And when he was there in that desert, he didn't have water. He was gasping for a drink, as it were. And he says that in verse 1. He's in a dry and parched land where there is no water. And I don't know if you've seen pictures of the desert in South Israel, but it really is a barren, dry land. So few plants can grow because there's just very little rainfall. There's only about 30 centimetres of rainfall in an entire year. So little water in that land that he was in. And so you can imagine him there being incredibly thirsty, gasping for a drink. But that's not what he's craving most. And that's what's so interesting about this psalm. He's clearly thirsty, wanting water, but he's thirsting for something even more than a drink. He's thirsting for God. Look at verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. He wanted God so much that his thirst for God was even greater than his thirst for water in a dry and parched land. Now that's a strong longing for God, isn't it? That's a passionate longing for God. Now in a culture like today's culture, David's prayer here might sound a bit over the top. What does he mean? Why is he speaking like this? Why is it that God is like this to him? Well, I wonder if you would think that. Is David being over the top? Do you think it's strange to be this fanatical about God that you'd say you'd thirst for him even more than water if you were in the desert? Are Christians today over-fanatical in their aim, if their aim is to love Jesus so much that he's more important to them than anything else in their lives? Or would you agree with David and say, actually, he's really onto something here? Well, Psalm 63 was written by David to express his longing for God. And in it, it tells us why God means so much to him. So as we look at Psalm 63, we're going to be thinking about that question. How much is it appropriate to long for God? Is David over the top or not? And why? So we're going to look at it under three brief headings. First of all, who. Second, what. Third, why. Who, what, why. Who was David? What was he feeling? And why was he feeling it? Okay, who, what, why. And that'll take us through the psalm. To see, is it appropriate to feel this strongly in longing for God? Well, first of all, who was David? Well, David was king of Israel. He was the one that God had appointed to lead the nation of Israel. And there were many people in Israel. And as David was leader over the people, he was involved with many military campaigns, he had a great position of responsibility. Even before he became king, he had already been appointed to lead the armies to go out to going conquests against other enemies. Now, that's a really helpful point to pause at for a moment. When we're reading David pouring out his heart to God, saying, God, I earnestly long for you, these are not the words of a madman. David is not the kind of character who just gets carried away with thoughts. He's not a kind of person who is just always going off on a whim and always talking crazy talk. No, this is a guy with great responsibility. He's the one that people are looking to for leadership. He's the one who's got such a clear mind that he's able to give direction to an army to go into battle and succeed. David is a clear thinker. He's a reliable guy. He's not the kind of person who'd say is a madman, who you could write off here as just being, well, he's just a bit fanatical. No, he was the king of Israel. He's not prone to being over the top about things. Also, we can see this about David, that from the many psalms that he'd written in God's word, from the way that he'd experienced God in his life, he had personal experience of this God, and yet he still longed for more of God. When he's writing this psalm, this isn't the first time that David realized that he wanted God. Actually, he's known God through his life, and yet he's still wanting even more of God. He longs to know God even deeper. And that's important to stop and realize as well, because it emphasizes how much of an impression God has had on him. You know how it is, if somebody's raving about something new, I don't know, whether it's going catching Pokemons on the mobile phone or whatever it is, and it's all the craze for maybe a few months, maybe a year, but then the craze dies down. Some people who were raving about it at one point then quickly forget about it and move on to the next thing. So what do you deduce from that? Well, maybe it was fun for a bit, but not really for a whole life. It wasn't that great after all, maybe. Well, David's not like this about God. David had known much about God through his life already, and yet he's still hungering for even more of God. Doesn't that tell us something about how much of an impression God has made on him? He still wants to keep knowing more and more of God. If he'd got bored of God and said, actually, God was great for when I was younger, but not anymore, I'd be suspicious of anything he'd said about God, because he'd be like, well, maybe God is only good for a time. But no, David is still hungering after God, thirsting for him. He's not got bored of God. No, he wants even more of God. That's made quite an impression then that God has made on him. It's reassuring, I hope, to new believers that even older Christians are still getting to grips with who God is, still finding that there's more of God to enjoy, that we're all on this path of learning about the greatness of God. There's never any end to how wonderful God is. David, he'd been a believer for many years, and yet he's still enjoying God even then. And he's still not fully there yet. He's on this path of getting into a deeper and deeper relationship with God. So that's encouraging us to see, you know, there's more of God to enjoy. There's more of God there. And so as Christians then, we're in the right place as Christians if we're longing to know God better. We're in the right place, in a healthy place as Christians, if we're wanting to know God in an even closer way, because we're thirsty for him. In fact, thinking of the opposite, we're not in a good place if we're dwindling in our love for God, or if God doesn't mean that much to us. And so we need David's help here to actually pursue God, to long for him, to desire him as we ought to. And David will help us. He's got some help to help us to really get back on that path again. Well, here's David then. He's a responsible guy. He's not prone to flights of fancy. He's not prone to just going off on crazy ideas. No, he's a guy who people looked up to, and yet he's still fanatical about God. He's thinking rationally, and so God must have made a great impression on him. Well, that's who David is. Well, what about what he felt then? What was his longing for God? Well, verse 1 again tells us, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." And so that's highlighting again, isn't it, how much David longed for God. Why is it that we thirst for water? Why is it that our bodies are programmed to do that? Well, stop and think. Water is essential for life, isn't it? If we don't drink, we're going to soon die. And so when your body is lacking water, it craves it. Your body just wants to do anything it can to seek out water so you can get a drink, so you can be refreshed and have that life-giving water, as it were. Our physical life depends on water. And so if we were in a desert like David, we would be desperately hunting out a brook somewhere where we can get water so that we wouldn't die. Well, isn't it interesting that that's how David is treating God? He's thirsting for him so much with his whole being, earnestly seeking God because he knows life depends on God. Just as water is essential for physical life, God is essential for wholeness of life, for eternal life. He needs God, and so do all of we. God is the one on whom his life depended. God was basic to his life. That's how he's made all of us as human beings. We are dependent on God. Well, that's what Jesus said about himself. Jesus, who is God. Jesus, he said he's the bread of life. He's the living water that gives us eternal life. And so that is why Christians are so fanatical about the Lord Jesus today. Jesus continues to make that impression on people so that Jesus becomes the most important thing to them. So that they're committed to following him. That they're willing to give anything for him. That they're willing to suffer for him because they want Jesus that much. He is crucial to life. You see, Jesus made such an impression on people who were wanting him that much, showing that there really is something there. There really is something about the Lord Jesus that is worth knowing. He is that great that when we see him as he really is, we really appreciate our need of him. It brings people to live for him, with him being first in their lives, so that he is top priority. Much like David was living for God here. So that's how he felt. He longed for God, showing how great God is. But let's get on then to why he was feeling all this, because he doesn't just leave us there in verse 1. He actually says, look, there's reasons why I'm thirsting for God in this way. So here's the third point. We've looked at who David is. We've looked at what he's felt. Why did David feel like this? It was because of God's amazing love for him. Verse 2 through to verse 8 explains this for us. David says, "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory." You see, David has seen great things about God. He's seen God answering prayer. He's seen God helping him with power, with help, with strength. Carries on in verse 3. "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing, my lips will praise you." David is captivated by the love that God has for him. Really, that's what's central. All that God is doing for David is all an outflow of this relationship which David has with God. God loves David, and that love is better to David than even life in this world itself. Carries on in verse 6 about how God's love is so personal to him. On my bed I remember you, I think of you through the watches of the night. You can imagine David there having a restless night. Have you ever had a sleepless night and you're just worried about what's ahead? Well, David here, he's talking about that. He's awake through the watches of the night, but he's thinking of God. Why? Verse 7, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. God had made such an impression on David because God's love for him was just so amazing. He was experiencing this day by day as he was often in trouble and in difficulty, yet he still knew that God was with him, helping him. Even though people were out to kill David, God was protecting him. And so David couldn't help but just cling to him. This reference to God's right hand is a symbolic reference to a right arm of power. And when we're talking about how great and powerful God is, well, God was using his power to protect and help David. And so you can imagine David there, as it were, figuratively clinging to God, knowing that that is where life is, that is where safety is. See, David thirsted for God and longed for him because God's love for him was so strong, so amazing that God had protected him. David had been in all sorts of scrapes and trouble from enemies, but God was with him. David was in trouble now, but God was still with him, looking after him. When David's best friends and people around him had let him down, God was still there with him. God was not going to abandon him. And all of this was possible because David had a personal relationship with God. We read last week in Psalm 32 how David said, "Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven." And you know, that is how David had a relationship with God. It wasn't just that David knew about God and God had answered a few prayers. No, David was in a personal relationship with God where God had forgiven his sins. And now David was a child of God, which is true for anybody who comes to put their trust in the Lord Jesus. You see, David was looking forward to the Messiah. We look back knowing that the Messiah, Jesus, has come. The one who would pay the price for sin so that we can be right with God and we can have this relationship with him too. So why is it then that people get so fanatical about the Lord Jesus? Because his love is amazing. His love is better than life. We read this in John 10 at the beginning of the service. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus said to the disciples, "Greater love has no one than this, than to give his life." Now, it's one thing for somebody to give their life for a friend. It's quite another to give your life for an enemy. That's exactly what Jesus has done. He died so that if we put our trust in him, we're forgiven. Even though we're the ones who've rebelled against God and done wrong things in our lives and largely ignored God all through our lives, Jesus died on that cross to be able to forgive us. And so that if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, he makes us right with God. Everything we've ever done wrong, forgiven, for free, letting us off the hook completely because Jesus paid the price instead. And what the believer can now say is that Jesus is there with them as that true good shepherd. He's not like the hired hand who doesn't really care for the sheep and is just going to run off at the sign of trouble or difficulty or hard effort. No, Jesus is always with his people. He's always near them, keeping them, helping them. That is why his love is better than life. That is why Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Love feels amazing, doesn't it? When you've got a close friend or a family member whose love just means so much to you. That's just a glimpse of the amazing love that the Lord Jesus offers you. You can have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. If you come to put your trust in him as your own Saviour. His love is better than life. So that's why David felt the way he did. God's love for him was just so overwhelming. And you know, Jesus' love for us would be so overwhelming. That is why Christians can say this: I long for Jesus, I hunger for him, I want to know more of him, because his love is so great. Well, then David actually says that God's love is so amazing, it satisfies him. And that comes up in verse 5. He says, I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing my lips, my mouth will praise you. That's an incredible picture there. Imagine somebody sitting down to dine with some fine food and they sit back afterward and say, wow, that really satisfies. Well, that's what God's love was like for him. He longed for more of it, and the more he had of it, that satisfied him and made him want even more. It nourished him. When I was a teenager, I had to learn about the mistake of using dinner money on sweets when I should really have been spending it on dinner. And I had to learn the hard way that only good food will properly satisfy. And me and my friends, we used to go to the shop before school, and we would use our however much money we got given for school lunch on buying sweets. So we just love to be able to have that, munch them through the breaks, and then we get home and have dinner later. And then after a couple of weeks of doing this, I was wondering why I was beginning to feel faint. I said, Mum, I'm not feeling too good. And she's saying, well, are you having lunch in school? And I was like, no, I've been eating sweets instead. And she said, well, that's why. And I got into a bit of trouble about that. I'd been eating the wrong food. And it didn't satisfy. Instead, it left me feeling faint. While it's nice to enjoy a few sweets, it can't replace good food. And if we don't get good food, we physically feel faint. And it's the same with God. If we replace God with anything else, it won't truly satisfy. It will leave us feeling faint. You may well still be able to carry on with your life and maybe live quite a happy life, but it doesn't satisfy deep down. We can fill our lives with all sorts of things, pursuing a great career, pursuing having a lovely home, having a good family, and so on. And these are all good things, like good things to enjoy, like it's nice to enjoy sweets. But if that's the main things in our life, if that becomes most important to us, such that God is lower down the priority, then we suffer. We do not feel satisfied. We feel a sense of emptiness. It is only God. It is only God who can truly satisfy us inside. Well, David is pointing us to this then. If we know God's love, if we know the full extent of that by receiving what the Lord Jesus has given us, then we'll be satisfied. And so this is what David is pointing us to then, to think this through for ourselves. How is it that we can know a joy in our lives? Well, it's through knowing the Lord Jesus and his love. It's the Lord Jesus who can really satisfy deep down. Well, as we've gone through this psalm then, we've been thinking about this question. Is it over the top to be feeling like David? Well, I hope you've seen from this psalm that it's not like David to just think crazy thoughts. No, he's really meaning what he's saying. He's really experienced something of God which has struck him so deep down that he's longing for even more of it. Well, I wonder about you. Can you echo these thoughts of what David is expressing here? Well, maybe you're not able yet to use the full-on language that David is saying here yet, but maybe you're starting to feel this way. Maybe you're recognizing that you There's something about God which you're realizing is something you need. You've come here this morning, you're thinking, well, I wanted to come, I wanted to listen to God's word. There's something about him that makes me think, I need to hear more. There's something about God that makes me want to know him better. I want to take time out to read his word. I want to take time out to pray. That's a really good start. That's the right starting point. Let me encourage you, if that's how you're feeling, that's great. Do carry on, keep going in that direction. It's the start of that road of seeking out this great and awesome God who really is able to be everything you need. Maybe you're a believer here this morning and you know you ought to be feeling like David. You know that God's word is saying that he's full and satisfying in his amazing love. But if you're honest, that's not where you've been at recently. If you're honest, you're struggling to walk consistently with the Lord Jesus, struggling to consistently choose Jesus over everything else, and other things in your life are beginning to feel like they're crowding in. Well, take heart. David is encouraging us here. He's got an answer about how we can get back on the right track. Look back at verse 2, and we'll finish with this, okay? Verse 2. Here's where his explanation of why he's thirsting for God all started. He said, I have seen you. Do you get that? I have seen you. He's seen something of God. And that's the clue for us as we want to carry along on this road. And as maybe we're struggling, maybe at times, to always have this sense of thirsting that David had, how can we get back on track? Ask God to help you see the greatness of the Lord Jesus from his word. That's the key. We will grow in hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus. We will grow in seeing how important he is, even if we spend time in God's word reading about the Lord Jesus and honestly come before God saying, God, I need your help to understand this. There's some important verses in 2 Corinthians. Don't worry about turning to it if you don't want to. I'll read them out, but it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we renounce secret and shameful ways, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone in everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, this is the problem, the spiritual problem that every human being has from birth, is that we cannot see the greatness of the Lord Jesus. We're blinded, and so we need God to unblind our eyes, to see the greatness of who Jesus is. Well, Paul carries on. He said, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. What Paul is saying there is this, look, the God who made the whole world, the God who just spoke, let there be light, and there was light, is still at work in people's lives today to open their eyes to see, to help them to appreciate how great Jesus is, that they may have the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. If you want help to be able to come to know God better, look at the Lord Jesus, read about him. Come regularly here. We're always in God's word looking at who Jesus is and exploring what God's word says about him. Come, listen. On your own, read God's word and pray. Pray earnestly on your knees, asking God, help me to see. I know Jesus is great in your word, but I want to know that in a real way personally. God, help me to see. And he will help you. You will help us. Well, David promises us that God's love is better than life. May God help us to go along that path of tasting of the greatness of who Jesus is, and that the more we taste of that, the more we'd want to know, so that we can live for him, knowing him and his amazing love through every situation in life.